Welcome to City on a Hill's podcast. This week's podcast can be downloaded on iTunes or our media library at chccny.com.
Before we release the kids, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell a story. By the end, you're going to go, oh, I get it now. Well, really interesting. How many of you have heard the name before Ed Kimball? Did you ever hear the name before Ed Kimball? Yeah, that's what I thought. I didn't expect one hand to go up. If one hand went up, you would have ruined my whole story, okay? Ed Kimball was a youth minister at a church, and this guy was totally sold out. All the kids that he worked with, it wasn't just like, hey, you know what? I'm going to pray for the kids. He actually would go out and visit them, and you know, the young adults too, so maybe outside of high school. There was one kid in particular that he went after. He said, you know, I'm going to go after this kid. Never really, was like kind of on the fence, didn't really know about Christianity, didn't cross over that, you know, that line. So he went to where he worked, and he worked at a shoe store. And he gave him the gospel, and he's sitting down talking to him, and God just met them right there. That gentleman's name was D.L. Moody. All right. How many of you know? This is just the beginning of my story. Okay. D.L. Moody. I mean, two continents. I mean, lit those continents on fire. Thousands of people came to know Christ through his life. So again, you start at the top, this little youth minister that you've never heard before, but you all heard the name before, D.L. Moody. Well, there's another name after that, after Moody. Moody is preaching, and there's a young man by the name of Wilbur Chapman. And I would be shocked if any of you knew Chapman's name. And Chapman became a Christian at one of his crusades, one of these evangelistic crusades that Moody had put together. And there is Chapman, and he's on fire for God. He winds up studying under Moody for a little while, and then he branches off, and he starts his own ministry, and he starts his own campaign, and he's really moving. God's moving in amazing ways. And somebody just happens to be at one of his crusades, and maybe this is a name you heard of before, Billy Sunday. Right, and some of you older saints, maybe you've heard that name before. Billy Sunday was a professional baseball player. So he's a professional player. On a day off, he happened to be listening to this guy, Chapman. He gives his life to Christ. He quits his baseball career. Quits it. And he moves out, and then he becomes a powerhouse. Studied under Chapman for a little while. Then he heads on out. And this is where the story really gets crazy. Because he, in his ministry, he's out and he's preaching and he's doing his thing. And at one of his campaigns, there's another man, a reserved, studious young man by the name of Mordecai Ham. And Ham becomes a Christian. Again, another name that you know nothing about. But there was a day, friends, here is the best part of the story. There was a day when he was preaching in North Carolina, and there was a lanky, sandy-haired, 16-year-old young man who said, I'm not going to go listen to this guy preach. I don't want to hear anything he has to say. But the preacher said that across from the high school that this kid and other kids went to was really a bad environment, and the kids would sneak out and they would drink and do their thing over there. Well, some of those kids wanted to heckle him when he was running one of his crusade meetings. So Graham said, I gave you who it is. It's Billy Graham. Billy Graham goes to the meeting and he walks in. And he's still like, I'm not going to be a Christian. I want nothing to do with this. He comes back the second night and becomes a Christian. Billy Graham, 16 years old in North Carolina. And it all started years prior with a little youth pastor that you never heard before who said, I'll give everything, all I have, to those kids. You never know, teachers in here. You never know the impact that you're having. But you are. I don't care what the faces look like in the room. I'm a teacher, too, in a public high school. You never, ever know the impact you're having on lives. And who knows? Maybe another Billy Graham will be raised up in Middle Island, New York. Why not? How many of you are feeling joyful today? Pastor Joe was talking about joy. I feel some joy in the house. I do. C.S. Lewis said, joy is the serious business of heaven. C.S. Lewis said, you can't understand God until you understand he's the happiest being in the whole universe. Can't understand him until you understand he's the most joyous. He's so happy. He's not the God that's looking down on you with a stern face, telling you what to do, giving you all of the rules and regulations. That's not God. That's not Christianity. Does anybody want that? Because I don't want any of that. Are you ready for a new series? Are you ready for a new series? Well, a little play on words. Thank you, Rachel. Rachel does a lot of the graphic designing now. I'll send her like titles and stuff, and I'm like, I don't make this kind of work on a slide. She sends me some slides back. You can see how I did a play on words. This would be a good title for a book, I think. I don't know. Maybe after the series, you can let me know. Where there's a way, there's a will. I flipped it. Where there's a way, there's a will. Why don't you look at your partner, pick the one that's the best looking, on your right or your left, and just say, where there's a way, there's a will. Say it to the other person, too, on the other side, so they don't feel so bad. Well, here we are. We are going to embark on a new journey. I went from the, what's that saying? You go from the frying pan to the, what is it? To the fryer. That's kind of where my last series was on the Holy Spirit. Not an easy topic to preach on. I don't think you won't find much information. I've read everything that's out there over the course of the past month on finding God's will for you. How many of us want to know what God's will is for our lives? All right? If you don't have your hand up, I got to worry about you, right, when I leave here. But I think everyone questions that. Everyone wants to know. At the outset of the series, this is what I'm doing, either on Realm or you can text this number and I will get the questions. Any questions that pop up in your mind, I would like for you to either write them on Realm and don't go on some long diatribe. I'm asking for questions. We don't want to hear how much you know. All right, so if you have a question, you can post questions and we'll look at those questions. And then I'd like to answer some of those questions. This is a topic I think we're going to have questions on. I imagine so. As I've been studying this and getting into it, I'm like, this is a topic that I really think we're going to need a week to sit up here, maybe at the conclusion, and have some of those questions that you have answered, and we can delve into that. How many of you are excited about that? Just pretend it's my idea. You got to make me feel good about the idea. All right, so you again, either on Realm or you can send that number, to that number, any questions, and then I will get those. Number one question I hear all the time, Pastor Linda, Pastor, you could comment for yourselves, but usually whether I'm in school and, maybe Christian kids know who I am and they're wondering, which college should I go to, Mr. Lecce? Or in church here when I put the other hat on, and people will ask questions like, I just want to know what God's will is for my life. I just want to know what God's in this area. Am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to do that? It's kind of funny sometimes. You'll talk for 2 or 3 minutes and then you expect someone to have an answer, right? That's kind of hard. This is a confusing topic. Would you agree? This is a hard topic. And we're always questioning, and we're always looking at, God, what is your will for my life? Let's get right down to it. This is what the Apostle Paul says. These are his words in the book of Ephesians. He says this in 5:17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be wise. Make sure you understand and you look at what the will of God is. Jameson had asked me kind of recently, he asked me a question. You get those loaded questions from your kids. Well, he asked me, hey, Dad, what advice can you give me for when I get older? What advice can I give you for when you get older? So then I'm a little stumped, right? I'm a preacher. I'm not usually stumped. I'm okay with, speaking, thinking on my feet. And there I was, and I'm thinking, I'm like, listen, you got to love God. You're going to have to follow God. There's going to be a lot of decisions you have to make. You're going to make friends. I'm going to help you make friends with certain people. I don't want you to be friends. There's all these decisions that we have to make. And I'm thinking about it, and I'm saying, even for all of us, you become a Christian. Maybe you decide to become a Christ follower, and you make that decision, but that decision is followed by a myriad of other decisions in our lives. You with me? And we're constantly going back and forth. Which direction am I supposed to go? Can I get a little theological just in the beginning of the series? I have to. In a seminary class, I had to sit through this in the cemetery. So I'm going to put you through this for a little bit. A lot of you didn't get that right over your heads. That's okay. Seminary, a lot of times, is called the cemetery, right? And in some ways, that's really true, right? But this is what I want us to understand at the outset, because I think we have a wrong idea of what God's will really is. I'm praying for freedom in this series, that you would be released, that the shackles would come off of the picture of who God is and what his will really is. Again, not many people preach on the topic. You can go on, you can look online, go check it out. You don't see this topic looked at a lot, but it's important. That's why we're here. And this is what I want you to see. I want you to see three circles. This is what God's will can be divided into. And the first one I want you to look at up top here, the outer circle would be God's sovereign will for our lives. Or you could say, this is the purpose of God. This is the part of God's will that he controls regardless of what we think. We have no control over this. This is the concealed part of God's will. God is sovereign. God decides certain things are going to happen. And we don't really, listen, he creates everything, right? You go back to the creation story. He creates everything. And you see Adam and Eve in the garden. They fall in the garden. Then you move on. And what happens? There's a guy named Abraham. And he says to Abraham, what does he say? That you're going to have a son, and through your son, he's going to bless the entire world, many nations, everywhere, right? People are going to be blessed through him. What happens with Abraham? Abraham's an old man at this point in the story. Abraham's like, there's no way that's going to happen. Are you kidding me? I'm too old. God's like, listen, I made your equipment. I can take care of this. I'll do what I need to do. I don't care if you're on Geritol. And his wife laughed, right? In the story. Don't get religious on me. His wife laughed. Come on, that's not going to happen. And then it happens because there are certain things God says, listen, I have preordained for this to happen in the world. Hey, Moses, I'm going to use you. God, I don't want you to. I have a staff here. I'm a stutterer. Don't worry about it, Moses. What am I going to say to Pharaoh? What am I going to say? You're going to tell him. I'm going to give you the words to say. Don't worry about him. I'll take care of him because my purposes are going to unfold. God's sovereign will. The word sovereign means you are in control and you have power. How about this? How about when you even look at the crucifixion? Look what Peter says. This is on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 2, look what Peter says to the crowd. The Holy Spirit has moved in, and we talked about that in detail. And the Holy Spirit has moved in. Look what he says here in verses 22 to 24. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. God was not pushed in a corner when he brought his son to Golgotha. It wasn't because Judas betrayed him. God knew exactly what was going to unfold, and that one day his son, he would come incarnate into the world and he would fix things. God knew. Sovereign will. Number one, sovereign will. Some of you are bored already. Stay with me. Stay with me. That's number one. How about number two? You look on the chart and you see, I'll go back to that. God's moral will. God's moral will. Now, God's moral will is his prescribed way to live life outlined in his word. This is his moral will. God tells us in his word, there are certain things that we're supposed to do. Gentleness, we're supposed to have humility. We're supposed to be long-suffering. We're supposed to, you know, be forgiving. I heard that word before. The real F-bomb. We're supposed to forgive other people. All these things are prescribed and laid out. This is his ways. You have his works, his sovereign plan. That is not going to be stopped or thwarted by anything or anyone. And then you have seconds. You have his moral will, his word that he gives us. everything in here. He lays it out. He says, this is a compass. This is a GPS. I have prescribed and told you how to live your life in so many different areas. This is my moral will. It's not always convenient either, is it? Following things in here, is it always convenient? Is it always cool? No, sometimes it's hard. But God says, this is the best way to live your life. And then you come to number three. Here's the one that you're really here for today. This is what you're here for. Individual will. God's personal will. This is the one that we're looking at. This is where we want personal guidance from God. But it's interesting. What does the Bible say? The Bible says children are a blessing from God, right? It says that. Every once in a while, I don't know about your children, my children will disprove that, right? Sometimes, how many of you are with me? But the Bible says children are a blessing from God. The Bible does not tell us you're supposed to have two children, you're supposed to have three children. The Bible says raise up a child in the way they're supposed to go. When they're older, they're not going to depart from it. But it doesn't say specifically how many kids you're supposed to have. It doesn't say what their names are supposed to be. You are supposed to come up with that. He says, I'm giving you freedom. Do you understand what he did when he gave freedom to the man in the garden, man and woman, Adam and Eve in the garden? Do you see the angels that were watching going, really? You're not going to create robots again after what just happened? You're going to allow these human beings that are made in your likeness and your image, you're going to allow them to make their own decisions? Volitionally, they could do whatever the heck they want. Are you crazy? And God says, that's what love is. Freely given, reciprocated, given back. God says, I don't want robots. I want people within my parameters of what I've laid out in my word, in my moral will. I want you to find freedom. I thought you'd be into that a little bit more, but you're not. It's okay. Now, our questions are about the particulars, are they not? Where? When? What? Where am I supposed to live, God? Am I supposed to live on this street or am I supposed to live on this street? When am I supposed to get married? When am I supposed to pop the question? What am I supposed to do with my life? These are the questions we all have. The where, the what, and the when. But it's crazy if we live our lives in such a way where we think that, oh my gosh, if I make one small step the wrong way, I'm in trouble. Can I share this with you? And listen, you find this in the Bible. Every scholar I've looked at, everyone I've read, every theologian. Okay? There is not one person for you. What did he just say? Did he just say, there's not one person for you? Can you just follow this with me? Can we think about this rationally? Are you ready for this? Say, some guy is supposed to marry, we'll say his name is Tommy, and Tommy is supposed to marry Sally. But instead of marrying Sally, he marries Molly, okay? He, by that decision then, is throwing off the balance, the romantic balance of the whole universe, because he's supposed to marry, what did I say, Molly? I confuse myself. But he marries somebody else. Then who does Molly marry? She marries the wrong person. And the person that Molly married, they married the wrong person. Then he married, everything is thrown off. And you have X's and Y's and they're flying around in a spiritual vacuum. And everything is out of control. What happened? These two were supposed to be married together. Oh my gosh, what the world is in trouble now. But so many people believe that. I'm not saying, don't come up to me after the meeting. There are cases where you look at people, Megan, right? I don't want to get myself in trouble. I said, do I go for this? But there are cases, right, where you see people and you can tell and you go, man, it just looks like God put those two people together. right? I'm saving myself. How am I doing? But at the end of the day, it's your choice. It's your choice. You get to choose. It's supposed to be freeing. Apparently not. Unfortunately, so many people, you know what I'm thinking? You got a few minutes? We could just talk about this. Is that right? You got a few minutes? I feel like so many Christians live in a prison. A prison. Because I'm incapacitated. I don't know what to do. God, am I supposed to have the gluten-free pizza or the gluten-rich pizza? God, I'm just kidding. That's like a really silly one. But you know what I mean? On everything, we're always worried. Am I making the wrong decision? Am I not supposed to do this? And it can cause, it's debilitating in every single way. And we wonder, God, where am I supposed to go? But God doesn't want us to live in a prison. God wants us to have freedom. Now, I know if you study your Bible, you're like, he better go for it, and he better preach what the Bible says. There are times people have specific assignments. Billy Graham, did he have a specific assignment? Did you know, by the way, this is really cool, did you know that there were three other individuals who started with him in the early 1950s, and none of them made it? He was the only one that made it. Guys that were great preachers, too. Amazing, charismatic. Amazing, amazing preachers, but they didn't make it. One guy went into Hollywood who became an alcoholic. One of the other guys, drug addict. Ran crazy. Billy Graham was the only one that made it. How about Jonah from the Bible? I'll give you an example. God says, Jonah, you're going to Nineveh. God, what's plan B? You're going to Nineveh. God, I don't like that plan. You're going to Nineveh, boy. Either you're going to go in a fish, right? Or you're going to go yourself one way or the other. You're going to Nineveh. I have a plan that's going to unfold. That doesn't mean in every case that God has a plan, but maybe we say no to that plan. We have the right as human beings to make choices. He doesn't want us to be robots and live in this, like, let me show it to you. Maybe you'll understand it better if I just show it to you like this. Oh, the door's not open. How nice. I've always wanted to do this, to go in with my Illustrator and come out with it. Okay. Mike, who made this? You or Tab? Tab, great job. Give Tabitha a hand. Give Tabitha a hand. I hope you don't forget this. This is how many of us see Christianity and God's will. The dot. This represents God's will for my life. James, stay on the dot. Don't, like a video, don't move. Stay on the dot. Stay in God's will. I'm pretty athletic here, right? Moving around. Stay on the dot. Don't leave the dot. That God has everything laid out for us. And there are certain people, this is what we think, there are certain people like Billy Graham and D.L. Moody and Amy Carmichael and Linda Lecce that their life, the way they live their life, of course they're on the dot. And all their decisions in terms of who they marry and where they live and what they do with their lives, they're on the dot. But the rest of us, we're spiritual vagrants. We're second-class citizens. And God puts up with us. This is good. I don't care what. This is a good illustration. This is good. Because we think, because I know it's hitting home, because this is how I thought a lot of times. That I'm supposed to do all these things. I'm not saying I was taught that. I just kind of believed it. But we think we move off and we're those second class citizens. And God, what are you going to do? Look at the mistake that I made. Now everything else in my life, now everything else is in trouble. It's going to be a ripple effect. Everything else I do. How many of us would admit it right now that you feel this way sometimes? You get hit with this. Good. I know I'm preaching the right message. I'm in the right church. You know, I like this church. I would come to this church if I didn't have to come to this church. I have to come, right? I don't have a choice like you most mornings. I get up, I don't feel well, kids are throwing up, vomiting, who's got whatever? I gotta come to church. I would come anyway. Find that dot and stay on it. And since we have ruined any hope for living in God's perfect will, what do we then do? We say, all right, God's just permitted us, his permissive will. Maybe you heard that term before. God has kind of just permitted us to live however we're living. He's not happy. He's looking down at us. You jumped off the dot. You weren't supposed to. And God looks at us and says, well, what am I going to do? I'm just going to kind of permit what you're doing, but that's not really my will for your life. And that's how many of us live. And we're afraid, and we live in fear that the choices that we're going to make, that God can't do anything about them. Yes, he can. He works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. He takes all things, not some, all of them. I'm telling you, it is a lie from the pit of hell if you think that you have stepped off of the dot for your life. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God has been using every decision that you've made in your life. And some decisions, God's like, you know what? I wish they didn't do that, but I'm going to use it for good in their lives. That is what his will is. He uses anything. He can put anything back together again. It doesn't matter what your life looks like. It could look like a Lego box with 984 pieces. And he says, I'll put it back together. Can I just tell you for a second, by the way, how many of you have kids with Legos? Why are Legos so expensive? Jameson wasn't feeling one. He's home, right? And we're just buying this kid, and his grandparents are right there. We're buying this kid Lego sets, and he's putting them together. I'm like, 1,000 pieces. That's got to be good for 2 days. That kid's going to be off my back for 2 whole days. Half a day later, the thing's built, and I'm out $100. It's crazy. I want to write Lego. Whoever runs that cup, they're ripping us off. You just got to go with it, I guess. You know, here's another way to look at it. Here's another way. Joe, Mary, I didn't know it was going to be this big. You know what this is? What is it? It's a blueprint. Y'all are smart, right? Let's turn the first page. I want everyone to see. This is a blueprint. Yeah, right here. This is a blueprint of the church, right? Now, anybody else, anybody like an engineer in here? Do we have any architects? Like, you know as much as I do. You can hang with me because I'm so knowledgeable. Nobody? Nobody in the house? This is, who did this? Pops, who's the architect? Butler. I don't even know who that is, but whatever. So Mr. Butler makes up these plans, right? Feel this, Sue. Feel how heavy this is. That's heavy. It's like War and Peace. I don't even want this anymore. My illustration with this is done because I'm worried something's going to happen to that thing, and we need that. Now, we look at God's will sometimes as a blueprint. If the architect creates the blueprint and the construction team comes in and they don't follow to the letter what the architect has said, if they don't follow the blueprint, there's a problem. Have we had minor issues in here? There were certain things that maybe could have been done a little differently. I don't know, Joe. Yeah, Joe. Oh, yeah. But when you're building it, you have to follow what the architect says. Are you with me? Many of us, that's how we're looking at God's will for our lives. We think it's a blueprint, and God forbid, something is out of place. It wrecks the whole thing. Yes, physically in this building, that would be the case. God's will is not a blueprint. You with me? You getting this? What it is, come here. I'm going to get you back now. You're coming up right now. Get up here. I'll embarrass you. He's coming up right now. I didn't know he was going to be here. This is for making fun of me with the Play-Doh this week. This guy observed me in school, and I had Play-Doh with my sociology kids, and he's laughing in the back of the room, right? Here's what I want you to do.
But I gave him a good write-up.
He did. He lied. He embellished. All right, ready? Here's what I want him to tell you, because he knows this better. The will of God is not a blueprint, but coach, it's a game plan. Can you explain to the church? Can you explain to the church, if you don't mind, just for a second, if you would tell them what a game plan is when you put a play in for your quarterback? What happens if things don't go right? You tell them.
Testing, go ahead, one, two.
Dude, you just wrecked everything.
You guys want me to play?
This is great. No, I don't care. Coach, come on. Come here. Tell him.
I'm sweating right now.
You should be.
And so are you.
Go ahead. Tell them what a game plan is. When you created a game plan, legendary high school football coach.
Oh, you know.
All right? Legendary. When you made a game plan, I'm serious. When you made a game plan, what was the goal? Like when the player gets the play, they come up to the line, right? His quarterback from last year is at the University of Wisconsin. He's pretty good, okay? What would he have to do? Tell us, what would he have to do?
How much time do you have?
Keep it simple, coach.
His objective would be to look at what the other team's weaknesses were and call a play that he felt would be successful against what, you know, he prepared for all week to basically take advantage of.
Maybe you should be the preacher. You just said a sentence that was so good. What he prepared for all week. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Now, I love what he said. Don't you love that? Don't you love when you have friends like that, that you can kid around like that? It's the way life is supposed to be. It's the way life is supposed to be. He's going to get me back, but that's all good, right? It's all good. What he said was so good. What they prepared for a week. But guess what happens? Sometimes in life, you can prepare and he can script plays, but the quarterback gets up to the line and he's supposed to throw to this guy, but that guy's covered. But he knows in his mind that coach has taught him he's supposed to then look this way and throw to that guy. That's what God's will is like. It's a game plan. It's parameters. It's outlining things. But when things go awry, when things don't go the way you want, it's not God saying it's a blueprint. And you have to do every single decision. You have to do every single thing right. Stay on the dot. Stay in my will. There's no freedom in that. You should clap. This isn't a monologue. It's a dialogue. I think that's so good. I got that from a guy named Larry Osborne. I read it in a book and thought it was so good. I mean, I changed it a little bit, but I thought the idea, isn't that a really good idea? And I want you to remember that. That's what it is. It's a game plan, and there's so little emphasis on the kind of decisions that we constantly stress over. The things that we stress over all the time. A lot of times, when you look at the Word, there's not much in here on those things. Did you hear what I said? There's not. All right, here it is. Here's where the rubber meets the road. God is more concerned. College, Michael, college. You chose to stay home. You're at St. Joe's right now. Michael had a decision. He was at Liberty. He's one of my ex-students. He's hemming and hawing. He's trying to find God. Where am I supposed to go? Am I supposed to stay at Liberty? Am I supposed to come home? God cares more about Michael in the person that he's becoming and who he is on that campus than which school he really chooses at the end of the day. God doesn't care so much about what your job is that you pick. If that job is going to make you happy, he says it's the person that you are at that job that really matters. It's who you are. It's what type of parent you are. It's about what we're becoming. Why do we complicate it? Why have we complicated it so much about the will of God? It's look at His Word, pray, and there are times, don't you hear me either, there are times and we should be looking to the Spirit to move us, and there are promptings. I talked last week about whispers. God whispers. God will prompt us. But a lot of times, maybe we don't get any answers and we don't really know. And God is saying, it's like He's sending out a text message and He's blasting us with it. What do you want? What do you want? You decide which paint color. You decide what you want to eat. You decide which house. Because I'm going to be with you in either house that you pick. What if? Well, I hope somebody's getting freed from this. This is just the start. What if, right? You want to meet Mr. Right, but what if you're not Mrs. Right when you meet Mr. Right? That means two wrongs don't make a right marriage. You could be the wrong person when you're going into that marriage. Are you with me? Come on. Why do we think every decision, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. It's who we are becoming. Are we being transformed more into the image of Christ? You know what Francis Chan says? Can I digress a little bit? Francis Chan says this in one of his books. He says, just forget the will of God. He says, forget the will of God. He says, what is God saying to me on a moment-to-moment basis? Stop with these 10, 20-year plans. This is him talking. I love it. Stop with all these plans. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Why are we so caught up? Why do you think Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough trouble of its own. One of your kids is going to do something later today. The Oscars are on tonight. Somebody I don't want to win is going to win. I don't know any of the movies. My wife and I, by the way, just to toot my own horn, I thought I would tell you, we have a competition every year. I don't even know half of the stuff this woman knows, and I win. I have a 3-year winning streak. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks. Appreciate it. I'm going to get crushed tonight. I'm going to get crushed. All right. Now, look what this verse says, because this is a verse that's really meant a lot to me, and I want it to mean a lot to you for the series. Look what Paul says again in Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, give thanks and be looking to God, looking for his Spirit to be leading us. But whatever, you're not living on a dot. I hope I stay on it. No. It's whatever you do within. And you want life principles. You want to know which way to navigate again. Here it is. But you know what we have to? We take some of the verses like life verses. How many, buddy? Proverbs 3, chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he's going to direct your paths. Awesome! Amazing, right? We have twisted and distorted that passage so much because that passage, people think it means follow the dots and stay on the dot all of our life. Follow the dot. He's going to guide us. It's not what that is saying. As we live and we move and we have, and he has his being inside of us as God, God is going to move us, but God is not saying again, like that verse, like that passage that we love so much, that it's a blueprint and you have to follow, stay on the dot. It's not his will. It's who we are becoming in Christ. Whatever we do, how we live our lives. So the will of God is pretty simple. When I walk in his ways, I walk in his will. Why do you think I titled the sermon this way? When we walk in his ways, we are in his will. I'll say it again because you're not reacting the way I thought you would when I wrote my notes up. When you walk in his ways, you're walking in his will. Just making sure y'all are with me. Jameson, we a couple of years ago, we were coming back from Mickey's house. And we got home, and I said to him, I'm like, dude, man, isn't it awesome to be back in New York? And the kid just looked up at me, and he's like, we're in Middle Island, Dad. Like the kid, I'm thinking about him going, oh my gosh, what a great sermon example, illustration. Again, that's why I keep around for the sermon illustrations. Because I'm thinking about it and I'm going, how awesome is that? That the kid didn't realize that he was in New York. Jameson, we are in New York. Middle Island is in New York. In the same way as Christians, God has given us his will. He's laid everything out, his moral, he's laid everything out. And he says, within all of this, move around, do what you want. Pick what you want. There aren't shackles. There aren't shackles. There are certain people that have certain tasks that he wants us to do. And God can speak to us about certain things. He may speak to us. Don't hear me say that. Don't come up to me. God may say you're supposed to do this. And you're supposed to. We should be looking first in his word. We should be praying and looking to his spirit. But to know if we don't get an answer, if we don't get a no, sometimes we get so incapacitated. Oh, I didn't get an answer. I'm just waiting for what God's will is for my life. You know what? Maybe God's waiting for you to make a decision. Make a decision. Why do we wait sometimes so long? Make a decision. Thank you, Michael. David, at the end of his life, right? At the end of his life, he said this. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Paul is saying, David is saying, look, God's will is more present than it is future. It's here and now. His will for your life is here and now. What is he saying to you now? About where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do. But don't you let the enemy, as we close this meeting, don't you let the enemy tell you that you have made decisions and God can't do anything about them. That is a lie. God's will is not a blueprint. It is a game plan. And things change. God does. Don't confuse his, that he's omniscient. He knows everything. Don't you confuse that his divine will, his sovereign will. We're not robots. He doesn't want us to walk around and say, you got to do this and you got to do this and you got to marry this person. You have to have this job. Certain times there are assignments. But for the most part, he says, whatever. St. Augustine, love God and do whatever you want. I could give you people, like all these different people that are, I'm on solid ground. I'm on biblical ground. And I know this is a topic and I've read enough that certain people sit in an audience when they listen to a sermon like this, and they're like, I don't really know. Listen, everything I told you is biblical. This is how God's will works. This is. I'm in good company with Billy Graham. I'm in good company with C.S. Lewis. I'm in good company with D.L. Moody, with Calvin and Luther. I'm in good company. It's the truth. It's the truth. And if something was said or you have questions about today, let me just put that up again. And you feel free to put it on Realm. If it's a question I don't want to answer, Pastor Linda can answer it. All right, so you put that on Realm, or you can text this number with a question that you may have just from part one. Next week, I can't wait for next week. This is just the introduction. Next week, we're going to get a little more into it. We're going to talk about relationships. There are other facets to this in finding God's will. Lord, I thank you, Father. I thank you first that your word is your will, Lord. Lord, I ask that we'd be a people that get into it. Lord, I ask that we'd be a people that don't live in the future. Lord, we live in the present, the here and the now, where you are. That's what you, when you said, I talked about eternal life was life that begins with your Father here and now. Lord, help us to be a people that trust you. Help us to be a people that know that regardless of decisions that we've made, we don't have to live in the past. You don't want us to live on a little dot. And try to move, and if we step off the dot, we're in the wrong, and there's nothing you can do. You're working all things, I thank you, Father, in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that you love us. Lord, I thank you that you have numbered every single hair on our head. You know us so intimately. So, Lord, continue to do something in the hearts of your people as we move ahead in this topic in the coming weeks. You know, you heard me just say that. You know, he's numbered the hairs on our head, right? He's numbered them. But just because he's numbered them, and say you lose some of those hairs, some of you are losing more than others, right? You're not in rebellion if you're trying to regrow some of those hairs. Not in rebellion. God doesn't look at you and go, I've numbered every single hair on your head. Some of the lost that I did. No, it doesn't mean you're in rebellion. God gives us freedom. So much more freedom than I think we hear about. So will you come back for part two? Coming back for part two? All right. I hope so. Going to be a lot of things that you can do. Man, I'll just listen to the podcast. Man, we'll see what the weather looks like. You come back. continue in the series.
Thanks for listening to City on a Hill's podcast. For more resources, visit us at chccny.com.